2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18. Oh, and by the way, he has risen.
He has risen.
Happy Easter. We had a good service Friday night. If you missed it, we weren't able to record it because of licensing. But when I planned this series, I planned it to end on Easter, so I must have did a good job on that. Last week in verses 13 to 14, we looked at his presence gives us confidence. And Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that because Christ was raised from the dead, we too are raised from the dead. And this gives us confidence because the Apostle Paul has been persecuted. He's been having difficulty with ministry. And so he puts the resurrection there for a reason. The reason of the resurrection is what we're going to talk about today. What was the purpose? But then in verse 15, we read this, and produces a joyful attitude. This was verse 15. Paul wanted to share the gospel with more and more, and guess what? Sometimes that happens through our pain. So the purpose of the resurrection is not just on Easter. There were over 520 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's fact. 40 days he appeared to his disciples and all around the area, and everybody saw that Christ had been raised. But I want to look at today. What is the impact? What is the impact of the resurrection? First of all, we're going to look at this. We do not lose heart. Verse 16, we do not lose heart. The Apostle Paul in 4:1 says we do not lose heart. Therefore, he starts with we do not lose heart, and he closes with we do not lose heart. In between there was a bunch of stuff talking about suffering and hardship and how Paul had the resurrection and the end goal of being with him ever before him. See, that gives us a change in perspective. Y'all do realize that this life is temporal. Everything in this world is temporal. Nothing lives forever. And so when we talk about this, Paul says, we do not lose heart. In kaiako. To lose one's motivation to accomplish a valid goal. That's what the Greek says. To become discouraged, to lose heart, or to give up. Do you ever have moments like this in life where you just feel like, man, I just want to quit? Life gets tough. We get bounced around. We get bounced around even more connected with Jesus Christ because we are countercultural. The lost world looks at Christians and we are not in good stead with them. And by virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ, all kinds of things come against us. Difficulties, hardships, when we say no to the world, and when we stand up for our Christian faith, you can be sure that there's going to be those in your life that aren't going to like it. This is what the resurrection gives us. The resurrection gives us the goal before us, and Paul had it fixed several times in this verse, chapter 4. He had it fixed before him because that was his driving motivation. Nothing in this world can ever touch us based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There is no power that can come against you that Christ cannot defeat. And therein lies our victory. And therefore, gives us out of this mode and say, you know what, with the resurrection and eternal life before me, I am going to press on and focus onward, not backward, not how difficult life is. And I get it. Life gets tough and it gets dirty sometimes in this world. James 1:12 says this, blessed is a man or woman who perseveres under trial, because when he or she has stood the test, he or she will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Let me encourage you this morning. Let me encourage you as people of God. Your victory is ahead. That's never going away. No matter what comes against us, no matter how hard or how difficult the task is in this life, Paul says we do not lose heart. We don't quit. If anybody had the right to quit, it was the Apostle Paul. If anybody could have said, I'm done, I'm out, it was the Apostle Paul. It's interesting about Paul. Y'all do know that Paul persecuted the church. And then he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And he was blinded. And then he went and received sight, but it wasn't just physical sight, it was spiritual sight. So the Apostle Paul now is getting the other end of the spectrum. He went from persecuting the church to being persecuted. So Paul could have said, you know what, God, I'm cashing it in, I'm done. And if you're there today, let me encourage you as your pastor to stay the course. Your victory is just ahead. This is this next little phrase. Though our outer self, oh, this is so true, isn't it? Though our outer self is wasting away. Diaphero is the Greek word there, to become gradually incapacitated, to lose one's strength and to waste away. Good news, we are all wasting away. Yeah. Isn't this true? Yesterday I was 23. Today I'm 66. And I look in the mirror and I go, what happened to that guy? Where'd that guy go? This is the fact. This is a fact. We will grow old. We will lose our strength. The outer man is changing. I know it's hard to believe, but back in the day I had hair. But now, and you know what, brothers and sisters? It's short, isn't it? I blinked, and I have grandkids. And it goes fast. So when we think about life, we've got to keep what the Apostle Paul did in chapter 4, keep the resurrection and eternal life ever before us, because we are wasting away. Our bodies are changing. We're going through all kinds of things. Sometimes I had pains that I didn't even know I had, but now that I'm getting older, I get it. Richard Pratt in his commentary wrote this. In terms of physical existence, he called us jars of clay. You remember that a couple of Sundays ago, jars of clay. The suffering and hardships he faced as an apostle called him to say that he was wasting away. This assessment of the human condition is true in general sense for everybody. On a physical level, we are all moving towards death. Those of you that like baseball, death is batting 1,000. Please make sure today you know where you're going. We don't just come here to Resurrection Sunday. There's a reason for that resurrection. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please, I implore you to trust in Him today. At the end of the service, or see me privately after the service. We don't have Sunday school, so you can definitely see me. Yes, we are all moving towards death, whether we want to plug our ears and we're all going to die. And you don't know when. But that's why we have the resurrection of Christ. He gives us hope in this world that is hopeless. Look at our world. It is upside down from the time I was a kid. I wouldn't let my kids play like we did back in the day. We'd go out 7, 8 o'clock at night, dark, come home. I wouldn't do that today. We got a messed up world. But we got the message for a messed up world. The messed up world needs to know Jesus Christ, Him crucified and raised from the dead. Yeah, we are wasting away. However, here's the good news. the inner man. Watch. So Paul transitions from the outer man is wasting away, but now he's going to come over here and talk about the inner man. We may be growing old outwardly, but listen to what he writes. Our inner self, me, you, our inner self is being renewed day by day. S-O. Listen to this. The psychological faculty, including the intellect, the emotional, and the spiritual aspects. Many of you, you think, you talk, you reason. That guy or that gal is being renewed. Something is happening. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you go to chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things become new. That's what we're talking about. This is not about a form of religion, folks. This is about trusting in Jesus Christ, and when the Holy Spirit comes in, the inner man gets involved in the process. Praise God for the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, Paul says, you're all gone. It's worthless. Yes, today is Easter Sunday, and we note the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the implications for us are huge. Our inner self is being renewed. And that word renewed means to make new in a preferable state. Listen, this does not come about. I've said this for 37 years. This does not come about by attending church. This does not come about by you punching your time card and sitting in a pew, listening to Pastor Mike blow a gasket, and then going out the door and I've done my job. That's not what this is about. It's not even about attending Sunday school. It's not about baptism. Do you know what this is about? This is about the inner man needs to be dealt with. And Jesus Christ dealt with the inner man on the cross when he paid for it in full. It's about the inner man. Romans chapter 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's about the inward guy. If you're a born-again believer, you pretty much know the will of God. You do. You know it's wrong to steal. You know it's wrong to possess greed or pride. I bet you if you went home on this Easter Sunday and wrote out everything that you knew God's will was, you would fill up a page. I did this at a men's group several years ago. I think it was a fellowship breakfast. And we came up with 20 or 25 things in like 5 minutes that we know is the will of God. You've got, look, this world wants your mind. Paul, and right here, Paul writes in Romans, do not conform to that pattern. See, this over here was your old life. And the Christian life is letting go of the old life and following Christ. It's about letting your mind be transformed. We have a different world view than the unsaved. We see life as precious. The way we view our world is totally different. Colossians 3:10. We have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. It's never been about the outside guy. It's never been about the outside guy. And this happens, yeah, it does, at the moment of salvation when you bend your knee and you say, God, I can't do this. I can't do this life anymore like this. And you say, God, I admit that I'm a sinner and I invite your Son into my heart to be my Lord and Savior and to forgive all of my sin. At that moment begins the Christian journey. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I bet you there's people that have walked the aisles of a church, and I've led them in that sinner's prayer, and they never got saved because they didn't mean it in their heart. I can't judge that. I can't judge that. But that's where the journey begins. And then Paul says, our inner self is being renewed day by day. This is a drip by drip by drip process of becoming more like Jesus and less like the world. It's a day by day grind. I don't know if you've been on these treadmills. They're pretty hard. And if you accidentally look at your phone, you'll go like this and you have to come back. But it's a day by day process. I've on my app, I have an app for everything. On my app, it says that I've walked 60 miles this month. That's deliberate. While we try to take care of the outer man, that's true. But we need to spend more time knowing that it's a day by day. I was kind of shocked when I was a young believer at some of the friends that I had and their responses to me getting saved. Quite amazing. Spend time working on the inner man. How much time have you spent in the Bible this week? I think a good place to start is just read a chapter a day. Garbage in, garbage out. Spiritual in, spiritual out. We got to be careful. We got to make sure that we're studying God's word, that we're in the Bible. Don't we get so caught up with unimportant things? We really do. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profit little. Now I will say this, you should work out, you should exercise, you should do those things. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that is now and that which is to come. Clean up your inward house. Start there. And if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ today, what a great day. Please, if you have not trusted in Christ, genuinely in your heart, do that today. Don't leave here. Paul says we do not lose heart. Yes, the outer man's being wasted away, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. It's a drip by drip proposition. We do not lose heart, and the reason we don't lose heart is because heaven is our destiny. Heaven is our destiny. This really got me, and not that I chuckled about it, but I just thought, whenever I'm writing a sermon, I look at how I interact with it first. For this light, momentary affliction. The Greek word says temporary, not intense suffering. Okay, I said, whoa. My own self. When you're going through hardships, does it seem like it's never going to end? There have been some times in my life I have been in deep, dark holes. And it hurt. It was not easy. It was not easy. So when Paul wrote that, I kind of chuckled to myself, but it doesn't feel that way, Paul. It hurts. And you know what? Your pastor gets that. However, the issue is, let me go back and read it. For this light, momentary affliction. You remember back at the start of this sermon, I said I blinked. I was 23 and then I blinked and now I'm 66. light momentary. Momentary. John Barry, in his commentary, writes this: hardships are temporary. Here's the key. Hardships are temporary and easier to bear when put in perspective of eternity. Such hardships do not merit glory. So don't go out. You don't have to go out and look for it. Don't worry. It'll find you if you're living for the Christian faith. God uses them to display his strength in weakness. I have seen over the years Christians endure things that I wonder how in the world they are enduring them. That's because the inner man, the Holy Spirit, who takes up residency in our hearts and gives us the power to endure. This is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. This is about the power of God in you. Hence, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, here's something. So this light momentary affliction, which seems like it goes on forever at times, is preparing, listen to this, here it is, Paul's again putting it out in front, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. Ionios Spiros, those are two words, eternal and weight. The eternal is unlimited in duration. We're here on this side of the fence. There's a limit. I remember years ago, I was preaching a celebration service for a church member. It was years ago. And she was really into bingo. So I at the funeral service, I took a bingo card. And I said, within this bingo card, there are certain numbers that do not change. But there's a free spot right in the middle. And I said, that free spot is Christ. And I got calls months afterwards from people that, sounds like a country song, getting cards and letters from people I don't even know. But this is limited. You're only given so many days. We don't know what the number is. We don't know what the number is. When I was in the Army, they used to say, prepare, because you never know when the balloon's going to go up. We had trained a lot. But this is limited. Over here, the weight of eternal glory is wide open. Nobody can say for sure what heaven's like, but man, I've seen some stuff that on deathbeds that have sad, but also so encouraging. Also very encouraging. And this word weight, the high point of a scale of the extent and often implying importance and value. Tremendous or great value. This is kind of a crude illustration here. Okay? Momentary affliction, eternal weight. They can't compare. Yes. You may go 1, 2, 3 years, whatever it is, over here, going through hardship. But when you get over here on the other side of the fence, it's open. And Paul says, look, again, we're talking about the resurrection. The glory beyond all comparison. Christ did that for us when he went to the cross and paid for our sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. Then he goes on to say, glory or doxa, the quality of splendid, remarkable appearance. When we get into heaven, I have no idea what it's going to be like in those streets of gold and all that, but what's it going to be like when we cross the finish line? We'll know it. We'll know. We know in part now on this side, we'll know in full on the other side. And this is why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so, 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 so important. David Lowry, in his commentary, writes this, and it's absolutely true. This eternal perspective and hope in things to come sustained Paul in the midst of temporary suffering that marked his ministry. Paul was always getting beat, shipwrecked, all kinds of stuff happened to him. As he elsewhere reminded the Corinthians, the world and its present sufferings are passing away. So, you know what gave Paul hope? What gave Paul hope was, hey, I know what's out there. I know what's waiting for me. 2 Timothy, just before Paul was going to go out and be beheaded for the faith, he said, there is therefore, I'm being poured out like a drink offering, but there lays before me a crown in heaven, and it's waiting for me. That is, he's did this his whole life. We need to do that in our lives too. Keep the resurrection and eternal life front and center in your life. And when it's front and center, what's going to hurt? It may hurt a little while, but we have glory beyond. It's amazing. 1 Corinthians 7:31, for this world in its present form is passing away. It's passing away. And yet we spend so much time in it. We spend so much time in it. And we need to focus more on the inner man. You can't do anything about the outer man. Oh, you can, but have you seen some of these plastic surgeons? Some of these movie stars, they don't even look right. What are they doing? They're working on the outer man. I don't even know how you can pull it so tight like that, but it's all outward. As believers, we're inward. We work on that guy. And sometimes those plastic surgeons make mistakes. Yeah, I saw one this week. It was just horrific. I couldn't believe they did that. And anybody that would willingly do that. That's Hollywood. That's the rich. They have to look a certain way. Brothers and sisters, we're just average people living kingdom principles in a world that needs a circumcision of the heart. That's where we come in. And we share the gospel. Heaven is our destiny, temporal versus eternal. I know you all are ready to get home to your ham and potatoes and what else are we having? We're having quite a bit. Oh, I made deviled eggs. Did y'all know that? Actually, Audrey helped. She said, do this, but I'm looking forward to tasting it. I haven't tasted them yet, so I hope it's okay. Listen to what Paul writes here. As we look, listen to this. Look at Paul's thought process. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. What's he talking about? The spiritual life. For the things that are seen are transient. It is all temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Why does Paul keep doing that? Because his focus is on the crown that's waiting. We look not to things that are seen. Kerizzite, and this is what I looked up, and why I entitled this Running for Eternity was this. This one long phrase. We look to the things that are not to the things that are seen carries the idea of pressing forward, hence running towards eternity. That's what we do. We don't look at what's going on in the world today. We look at what Christ has for us in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we live by sight and not by faith. Something's bad's coming. Okay, well, if it is, have a short period over here. I hope this has been encouraging to you, because the thing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ is it gives us the power. You don't have to do this alone. Christ goes with you in every circumstance and situation. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You could call it blind faith to just trust in Christ. David Garland, in his commentary, really lengthy quote, but I think well worth bringing into the discussion. Spiritual transformation cannot be documented in a laboratory with empirical experiments. I've had people say, show me proof. Well, when I was at Florida State taking a summer history course, that professor outlined Jesus and the disciples perfectly. That was a secular professor. And at the end of it, he said Jesus was a good guy. You state all this, you give the information out, and you say Jesus was a good guy. I said, Jesus is my Savior. And everything that you laid out was actually pretty much by the Bible. I was kind of shocked. I think I took it on Monday, and you go for 3 hours, and that was Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So yeah, you can't. There's no experiment that you can do. You still have to trust in Jesus by faith. To believe that God raised Christ from the dead after such a shameful death requires extraordinary faith. Blessed are those who believe but have not seen, Jesus said. To believe that God will do the same for Christ's followers who are confirmed to Christ's death, that are conformed to Christ's death, requires just as much faith, since all outward evidence suggests otherwise. It's about the inward man. It's about the inward man. Let me say this in closing. I'm going to give you a little chart here. It's kind of a comparison chart, what we just looked at in a broad spectrum. Earthly is the outward man. It's wasting away, momentary pain, things that are seen and transient. Stop focusing on that. On the other side, the inner man's being renewed, glory beyond, things not seen and eternal. Big difference. That's the difference between you and your lost friend, you and your lost neighbor. The world view is totally different for believers. And when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're talking about this side of the house. And Jesus came and paid the price for all people. So let me say this in conclusion. And I hand wrote this part, but let me say this. If you're hurting today, physical, emotional, spiritual, let me just say this to you. Don't give up. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ living inside you to push on and keep moving forward. Secondly, spend time this week working on the inside guy. You know what, Pastor Mike, you're right. I haven't been reading my Bible, haven't really even thought about the Bible in weeks. Work on the inward man. Here's a big one. I'm going to let you in on a secret. This is not our home. This is temporal. Our home, as my grandfather Porter would say, is up yonder. If you have not trusted in Christ today, I would encourage you to do so.